on the eastern seaboard with his association with Winks. He's a country boy. He's got lots of stories about how you come from the bush to get yourself in the position where he is today. And Gary Moore, a very, very entertaining gentleman. I got to know Gary very well through in one of my former jobs when I was the director of racing in Macau. And Gary's got lots of stories. He's been successful all over the world as you know, both a jockey and a trainer. And I'm sure that he'll keep the crowd entertained.
Yeah, lots to look forward to, Michael. Thanks for joining us and the best of luck for the rest of the carnival.
Yeah, thanks very much, Jason. Lovely to chat.
Michael Beattie with Grafton, continuing tomorrow on Sky Racing and Sky Sports Radio. Racing HQ and Ray Thomas coming up in a moment.
Racing HQ is brought to you by TAB. Bet you'll love a $400,000 projected quaddie pool at Warwick Farm today. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly. Sky Sports Radio now presents Racing HQ. Setting up your racing day with race news, interviews, track reports, previews and TAB markets.
Yes, hello again. If you're just joining us for the first time today, it's great to be with you. I'm Jason Witham, filling in for Andrew Bensley, who's on a few weeks' holiday, but not so this man, Ray Thomas, who doesn't take holidays, I don't think. Morning to you, Ray.
Good morning, Jace. Good morning, everyone. I'm about to take off in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
looking forward to Warwick Farm this afternoon. Of course, we've got that subplot of the Bowman Abdullah Premiership race. I think Brenton will be looking to try and snare a few winners. He's due to start a suspension after this meeting due to his a midweek indiscretion. He has a 3.5 win lead at the moment, Jace, with 7 meetings to go, including today. Can he hang on?
What's your gut feel, Ray?
Momentum's with Hugh. He certainly he comes into the Warwick Farm meeting off successive Metropolitan trebles, so he is flying, obviously. But G. Brenton Abdullah has ridden at a consistently high level all season, so it's going to make the last 7 meetings, these last 3 weeks of the season, really enthralling in Sydney racing.
Well, I think Hugh saw it as a challenge for him, rather than taking a holiday. I think he's going to do the Kokoda track.
He is. He'll ride right up until the very last meeting on July 29 at Rose Hill. Then he flies out the next day to the Kokoda charity walk along with Corey Brown. I think Cathy O'Hara is doing it and Stephen Baster. So good luck to the four of them.
That'll test them out. I did do that a few years ago. It's not the easiest walk in the world, but it's a lot of fun. So a challenge there for Hugh, and certainly got some momentum up. Lots to look forward to as well, Ray. Of course, the Everest coming up, English now for Tabcorp and for Gay. We'll have a chat to Gay a bit later on, and David Hayes with a runner too.
Yeah, a couple of big sort of announcements this week. The Everest, Gay Waterhouse returned to Sydney on Monday from her overseas holiday. Yeah. The following day, there she was parading Everest as her English as her Everest runner. And interesting move yesterday, wasn't it, by the Star Group? They've gone to David Hayes and said, "We want one of your sprinters," and David said, "Don't lock yourself into one. I'll go about 6 or 7. It could potentially line up in the Everest or are good enough to go there." And he said, "Let me decide which horse runs in the Everest closer to the day." So at this stage, his number one seed is probably Redkirk Warrior, but he's got about 6 or 7, he said, that could measure up. So he might not make that final decision as to the Stars runner until about 2 weeks out.
Well, he's got, I was having a look earlier, the likes of Catchy, Tulip, Formality, Darren, Vega Magic. It's quite a lineup, isn't it?
And he mentioned to me yesterday a filly called Furic, and I must admit I didn't know a lot about her. I checked into her form. She's 5 from 9. His words to me were, "She's a beautiful filly. No one knows about her yet." So she might be the dark horse of the stable. But deep pool of talent there, and isn't the Everest starting to shape up as a terrific race at the moment?
It is, and I think the programming is going to make it an even better race now, Ray, with those recent changes.
The other important thing, the news this week, read the Spring Carnival programming. An additional, over a 5-week period from the start of September through until the Everest on October 14, I think, Jason, Sydney's Spring Carnival is now worth over $22 million. It's extraordinary. Some of the weight for age lead-ups in the sprints, and including the middle distance races, have been increased prize money-wise significantly. Secondly, I sort of worked out we could see Chautauqua and Winks, arguably the nation's two best racehorses, in Sydney at least on 3 consecutive starts over a 6-week period through the spring. So it's great news for Sydney racing.
Better get your tickets now.
Exactly, yeah.
That's right. Well, whilst we talk about the Everest, certainly a man who will have something to say about it is Gary Portelli. Good morning to you, Gary.
Morning, Jason. Ray.
How's she going? She Will Ryan heading towards the Everest?
Going really well. She's just started her three-quarter pace now, so countdown's on.
Yeah, can't wait for that. A couple of good runners today, Gary, as well. I wanted to ask you about this filly before we hear from Ray. Lipizan, not much of her, only 420 kilos. You trained her mother too, I think, didn't you? Absolutely flying before she came unstuck with injury?
Yeah, that's right. She had a very strange injury where she actually just trod on her own foot in the stable one day, and she took some skin off the top of a coronet band and it got infected, and basically the infection ran in behind the hoof, and from there on she had this massive quarter crack, and we were never able to get to the track again. But she looked like being a pretty smart filly, and I was lucky enough that Louis Mahaika, who runs Laurel Oak Bloodstock, has got a bit of affinity with giving trainers horses out of mares that they trained previously, and it's been a bit of a well, it's worked every time apparently. So he gave me this filly, and she's come good for us. And as I said, same thing with Rebel Dane. I trained his mother as well.
Yeah, good morning, Gary. She's been a little gun, hasn't she, Lipizan? And after Randwick the other day when she won, you were sort of in two minds about whether to continue on with her, but you're telling me during the week you couldn't find a reason to send her to the spelling paddock.
Nah, look, she's working well. Trackwork writer said she couldn't have worked any better than she did on Tuesday morning. He knows her really well, and she looks really good. So, you know, just would have liked to have sort of just draw that little bit softer, you know, inside sort of three or four and just get that nice cover. But, you know, we'll obviously just try and get some cover again from the gate from seven. Not sure. There's been a couple of scratchings, I think, overnight, but I don't think it affects where we come from.
And a bit
but,
of a...
We'll just try and get some cover and see if she can finish the race off like she did last week at Ram. If she does that, she's going to be in the finish.
Certainly got a fitness edge, I suppose, on many of her rivals today.
Yeah, and she knows how to win. It's a home track. There's lots of ticks in the right boxes. But, you always worry when you're getting up this far with two-year-olds whether there's going to be that day where they just didn't race or run as well as you were expecting. So, there's no sign that she should run poorly, but if she'd go to the paddock, you know.
What about Nikki's Gold, Gary? Like, this is a filly who's probably flying under the radar a little. She was really good winning her maiden at Newcastle, and I thought she was terrific against the older horses last up. The horse that beat her, Piping Hot's pretty smart.
Exactly, right. She's one of them horses, or two-year-olds, that keep improving every time you step out. You're just not sure where they get to from start to start, you know. She got beat at Bathurst first up, then she went up in grade to Newcastle. It was a pretty hot race. There was an odds-on favourite from the Darley camp. It was a pretty strong race, and she had a lot of luck in saying that, but she did finish off really strongly. I stepped her up at 12.50, I think it was, at Newcastle last start, and said Piping Hot was too strong, but she's already a city winner, and she was a two-year-old taking on the older horses. So I just like the way she was attacking the line, and, you know, at 70-1, I think she's overs. I think the owners were on yesterday, so they won't mind me saying anything now.
They're already set. What about Icon Rock? He loves Warwick Farm. He loves the 1,100-metre course. And more importantly, he seems to race best kept on the fresh side, Gary.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we've done again here. We sent him out to Aquagate, which is a water walker. They've got a water walker down at Menangle, down to the trotting track there, and spent a fortnight down there. And he's come back just bursting at the seams to get to a race again. So we stepped him up off this. Obviously to Saturday Company this time, and gets him well at the weights. And, if they set the race up for something to get home, and this track has dried out somewhat by later this afternoon, I reckon he's a great chance.
I was going to ask you, Gary, because all his form is on good tracks. He's had six starts on soft, six unplaced runs. How is the track this morning, and will it be okay for Icon Rock?
Look, we've had a bit of a frost again this morning, and I think... I always find a way that when you get a frost, it actually takes the moisture out of the ground sometimes. At the moment, you walk around this grass out here now, you can't break the surface. It's pretty firm out here. So I'd be surprised if the track's not slightly better than a five, to tell you the truth. I'll be disappointed if it isn't.
And just finally, Gary, you've got one runner at Kembla, Ibanez, who also a two-year-old who comes out of a really competitive race against older horses last start. She looks well-placed in the opener.
Yeah, look, she's favourite there at Kembla today. She does a few things wrong. She's a little bit hard to catch at the moment, but she is in the right race. If things go to plan, I've got my apprentice, Beanie Pena, who's a sister to Deanne, and rides very similar, good on to the front-running type and strong in the finish. So hopefully she can get her to get up outside the leader. And she's funny horse. She gets in behind her. I think she has a bit of a think about things. She's a bit scared of other horses and doesn't really race that truly. But if she gets up there and gets daylight, I think she'll be very hard to beat.
And just finally, Gary, I know Jason mentioned earlier about She Will Reign, and you've told us that she's up to three-quarter pace now. The spring carnival programming changes, and indeed the prize money increases. Does that alter your thinking about your preparation with the filly into the Everest?
No, look, we've got a plan. We've got to stick to it now. I think that being she's probably not ready to take on weight for H-horse at 1200 first start in the race. Back from a spell, I should say. You know, my plan was to go to the Moya, and I'm going to stick to that. She'll have two trials in trial at the end of August, another trial mid September. 29th, she'll go around in the Moya over 1,000, which is a great race for 3-year-olds.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And she'll have 50 on the back. She can then step up to 1200, having that run under her belt, and take on the big guns. I reckon the Premier Stakes the fortnight before will be probably the Everest race.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway,
rerun.
So
yeah, just a bit.
We only be taking them on until we're rock hard fit. And not ideal going to Melbourne. I think if there's a shorter race on up here, there's 1,000 on. Excuse me. I'd be running her here, but just knowing her and knowing that she's still probably going to be fresh first up, she'd be better in 1,000 than going too quick at 1200. So that's the plan.
And just finally, Gary, physically, you were telling me she's made some pretty dramatic improvement physically since the Golden Slipper.
Yeah, look, you wouldn't recognise her now. She's real balanced now. She's got a beautiful deep girth and width through her shoulder. Just everything's there now. She's really come together. So she's about 45 kilos heavier than what she was when she won the Slipper. So it's all muscle, not fat. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing if she can improve, to step up to this level now. You know, I think we often see these two-year-olds, as soon as they take on the older horses, they find it a little bit difficult. But she's physically come on now, so I think that's what she needed to do.
Terrific, Gary. Thanks for joining us this morning. The very best of luck this afternoon at Warwick Farm.
Thank you very much.
Good luck, Gary. Okay, Gary Patelli joining us there.
It's a great season, these two-year-olds, hasn't
he? Oh, he's had a great season.
Extraordinary.
Yeah,
I think we're working out, he's had 10 two-year-old winners, 6 individual winners, and he's only that have won 10 races, and he has a stable of about 15 juveniles.
It's remarkable, isn't it? Yeah.
Great strike rate.
Yeah. Indeed it is. And lots to look forward to with She Will Reign. Joe Pryde is about to join us as well. Good morning to you, Joe.
Good morning.
Brooke Magic in the first race today. Nice little filly. She's had two strong wins there at Kembla Grange. Another step up today, but she certainly looks to have ability.
She does, yeah. Been really happy with her. She hits a pretty hot two-year-old race today, for sort of middle of winter. But she's obviously got a good progression in her, and I've been really pleased with the way she's been able to beat older horses at the last two starts.
Joe, I think our colleague Mike Fraser's son is a part owner of Brooke Magic. Any extra pressure there, Joe?
No, not at all. No, I have a chat to Michael occasionally, but no, they're good crew. They leave me to do my job, and I'll leave them to do theirs.
As Jay said, she's looked pretty smart in both those provincial wins. They've been over 1,000 metres. She's ticked the heavy track box. She's ticked the good track box. She's run time, particularly on that firm track last start. Stepping up to the 1,200, any fears there, Joe?
Oh, look, it's an unknown, so I guess that presents a fear in itself. I think she's sort of had the right preparation in terms of, a couple of barrier trials, a couple of runs. You know, she's probably got a fitness edge on a few of her rivals there. But as though, I think it's a deep race, and I've got good respect for her opposition.
Does she have to lead, Joe?
No, not at all. We'll see how it pans out today, but we certainly won't be aggressive on her. I don't think we need to put any extra tempo into this race. It looks, I think they'll go along pretty quick as it is. The plan will be from a good barrier to use that, but not to be too aggressive.
Down to race 4, Joe, you've got La Chicabella. She's a modestly bred filly, but she's a little gun. She won her first two starts. I know you've only had her this prep, and she won on debut for you at Gosford. And her run at Canterbury when she was fighting back on the inside of Noir was tremendous last start.
Yeah, look, I think she's got a clear tenacity, this filly. And what Corey's feedback was good after Gosford, but after Canterbury, he was really happy with her. And he's of the belief, and so am I, that as we stretch her out over further, she'll actually show a bit of a turn of foot. And what you're sort of seeing there isn't so much her being gone, but they really haven't gone quick in those two races that she's been in so far. So she's just finding it hard to get through to a top gear. But I think, as I say, possibly having a bunny today and a Peterson, and having a decent tempo and something to follow, that she'll show much more of a turn of foot today.
It was interesting. I was talking to Corey yesterday, Joe, and he actually made mention of the Canterbury race, and he believes that La Chicabella just knuckled for a stride about 50 metres out, and it probably cost her the win.
She did. Now you could see that. She just had trouble regaining momentum after that. But and that's sort of the way I've treated that run. I had the plan to come here on the back of a midweek win, and she didn't win. I sort of thought to myself, well, you know, should I be going there? But I thought the run was as good as a win, and for that reason, we decided to bring her here today.
And she's got that tactical speed. She can just lob either in front or on speed, and generally speaking, these 1,400 metres at Warwick Farm aren't running a breakneck speed, so she might better just control the tempo up front, Joe.
Make sure. I'd be surprised if Gay's horse up at his end didn't try and lead. He looks reasonably one-dimensional, and he has been known to scoot along a little bit. So I would think there'd be genuine tempo, and look, that's not going to worry us. We've got no weight on our back, and I think we'll have a nice trail. And if it didn't want to lead, we'd have no problem with Philly leading either.
Yep. Down to race 6, Argent Door, Parley Vu, Once More a Lady. You can't split them really on ability, but probably the barrier draw, it might be advantage Parley Vu.
Yeah, look, I think he has got that soft draw, and we're yet to see how this track's going to play today. And I don't mean in terms of the surface, but just in the way, you know, will it be better out wide? We had a rail shift back into the true, and I think there's a protected strip, but I'm not sure that protected strip's going to be the place to be because it would be holding more moisture. So it could well be playing out wide, and until we see that, it's sort of hard to know how to ride these horses. Got a good opinion of all three horses. They all present their own case to winning this race, but I do believe they're all in good order, and I'm happy with them.
All at good odds, and a really interesting run in the last, Joe Brazen. Hasn't raced since the Queensland Derby of last year. A new horse to your stable. I understand he bowed a tendon after the Derby. You've had him in work for 3 months, and apparently he's an absolute giant now, Joe.
He is, yeah. He's a big boy, so he'd be the biggest horse in my stable, and he's a real watch horse out of today's meeting. You know, I don't think that he's going to be able to be at anywhere near his peak for today because he's had such a long time off. That's not so I'm not giving him a chance in the race because he's in the pretty low grade race, but I do think whatever he does today, we're just going to see him keep improving as he gets some racing under his belt, and a really nice horse, and definitely one for the punters to follow.
Well, we know that there's no Grafton Cup now for Destiny's Kiss. What's the plans going forward now into the winter?
I might even just give him a little freshen up. I was sort of still toying with the idea of taking him up there, but I don't think there's going to be any rain, and it just seems like a trip too far for him. He's not a great traveller. He's got the 60. He's got a dry track. It doesn't look attractive. So sort of stood on that over the weekend, but this day certainly don't think we'll be down.
Terrific, Joe. Look, really good team this afternoon. Looking forward to seeing in particular Brook Magic and La Chicabella. Best of luck today, Joe.
Great. Thanks very much, guys.
Joe Fried joining us on Racing HQ this morning with a good team. And, Philly Brook Magic does look hard to beat in at first. But it is a hot race to kick it off, isn't
very
it?
Very deep two-year-old race, isn't it? You've got Manicure, who was terrific last start at Canterbury, sitting outside Sasso Cabaro, who was the horse they backed off the map that day. And Manicure probably wasn't entitled to beat her, but she did. She was tremendous. Lipizan, we can't fold her. She just keeps turning up each race and running particularly well. And
the horse I'm interested in, race Sparky Lad, really likes its trials, and there's a quiet tip around. He entered it for Kembla Grange as well, but electing to throw it in to a Metropolitan two-year-old race unraced is, I think, a pretty good push from Chris Waller.
Even Louisa showed a lot of promise early in the season. Star Galaxy, Brian on debut, game last start. Wild Heart did nothing wrong the other day. Up on speed, controlled the race, won well at Warwick Farm. A really deep two-year-old race.
Might be some a good form race, that one, to kick off the day, the TAB Rewards Handicap. All right, we're continuing our interviews on Racing HQ. Great to have you listening or watching around New South Wales and around Australia on this winter Saturday morning. Also, should make mention, Ray, that there is an industry forum at Kembla Grange coming up on Monday with the key focus, the next Racing New South Wales strategic plan. So that'll come up on Monday at Kembla Grange, 10:30 a.m. in the Burt Lilly Room for those of you wishing to attend that industry forum for Racing New South Wales. All right, continuing our interviews this morning, we'll have plenty more coming up. I think Gay Waterhouse will be joining us, Rachel King, James Cummings, and
I think we have Maddie
Hayes.
Smith on the line.
Maddie Smith is with us now. Good morning to you, Matt.
Morning, Jason. Ray, how are you?
Very well, thanks. A couple of good chances today. I'm really interested in how this three-year-old of yours, Kings of Leon, has come through the run there at Wyong last up. Really hit the line well. You won a good race at Tamworth with him some time ago, and then he had a bit of time off. Has he had a few issues, this horse?
No, he just had a bit of a freshen up. He was just a bit flat after that race, and then we trialled him Rose Hill. I wasn't really happy with his trial, so we just went back and regrouped and worked on him. And, you know, it was a good run the other day at Wyong.
Yeah, good morning, Matt. Yeah, he really got back, but he powered to the line. The improvement out of that race, Matt?
Definitely, yeah. No, he's always showed a lot of ability, this horse, and we've sort of had gear on and off him through his preparations. We decided to take everything off him last prep, at the end of last preparation, and he sort of went on with the job. His win, Tamworth, was very good, and I thought his run the other day was spot on. He just got into a bit of an awkward spot. He's trained on nicely since that run and back onto his home track. I expect him to be competitive today for sure.
Yeah, big field. Looks like there's genuine tempo over the 1,100. I guess Kings of Leon's natural racing pattern, Matt, is to get back, but clear galloping room. He'll be charging home again.
For sure, yeah. His pattern is to get back. It's really, with him, it's been a bit of a mental thing. He kind of overdoes it if you try and put him into too handy a position. He just doesn't cope with it. So since we've been riding that bit quieter, he's been really attacking the line and he's improving every race. And I think he's a nice horse going forward.
Zyam, second up was fantastic at Randwick over the mile. He chased home Sound Proposition, who we know is a pretty smart horse. Did he surprise you second up, Zyam?
Well, he'd been working actually really well going into the race. Sound Proposition just had a bit of a fitness edge on us, I think. We were second up and he was a bit soft first up. But he does race particularly well at Randwick. I think the track there suits him. It's always a bit soft. Kind of suits him, Randwick. Look, he's improved in fitness and look, he's in really good shape. I mean, the track's going to be a lot firmer today, though, so I'm not sure, you know, whether he'll quite have the advantage he has on a softer track.
What about staying at 1,600 metres, Matt? He's not looking maybe now for a touch further?
Yeah, he definitely is. Just with the programming at the moment, I just couldn't find a race. You know, next week if we wait, you know, he's going to get 63 kilos, so that's not really a good option. So really, we've got to wait 3 weeks. So if we run today, we go 3 weeks into a much more suitable race over 2,000. So yeah, probably at the mile again is a question mark because he probably is looking for 2,000 now.
That might be the negative, Matt, but the positive is there's probably no real speed in this race. So Zyam can get up on speed, probably even lead. If not, just set up on speed, make his own luck today.
Yeah, definitely. No, he likes to race up on the pace, and he can be hard to get past if he gets his own way in front. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe Bjorn's horse, doesn't it? It races handy as well, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so there might be a couple up there. But, yeah, no, he'll stride forward from the gate, hopefully get across, and he can dictate. That'd be good if he could. And he's fit now, and you know, he's on his home track, so you have a good side, I think.
They both look hard to beat, and Matt's already been a winning week for the Matthew Smith stable, Jason, because his daughter, I understand Claudia Matt, is now the New South Wales State Champion Pony Club Dressage Rider.
Yeah, she is. She did very well during the week. They spent the week at Tamworth this week competing, and Claudia did a great job. She's spot on. She got the money in the dressage, so that was good.
Congratulations.
Yeah, good on you.
And also, Matt, your sister-in-law, Melanie O'Gorman, has brought Suncraze down from Tamworth for the Tab Highway today. He's the hot favourite. Would have arrived at your stables yesterday. How does the horse look, and how's Melanie's level of confidence and nerves?
Yeah, no, he looks outstanding, the horse, and I see he cleaned up last night. He looks well himself. No, looks really spot on, the horse, nice and bright and well. So, I think he'll give that race a real shake today. Melanie's, you know, quietly confident, but, you know, she's keeping her cards close to her chest, but I think she's confident in the horse, and he's been going well. She's really pleased with him.
Terrific. Well, hopefully the winning week for the Smith family continues today at Warwick Farm, Matt.
Yeah, no, it'd be great. It'd be great to see that horse win for Mel, because he's been he's a nice horse, and he's had a bit of bad luck, but it looks like a nice race for him. Hope he can get the money for it.
Good on you, Matt. Best of luck today.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
Matthew Smith joining us there. Kings of Leon and Zyam, his two chances. And, yeah, Suncraze, a bit unlucky, really. Oh. Was it four straight seconds?
Five straight seconds. Yeah. And you could argue each and every one of those he probably should have won. And even last start, he was 3 and 4 wide, exposed all the way at Newcastle. And Cosmic Engine sort of ambushed him late. He dashed clear Suncraze.
He did.
The Cosmic Engine ambushed him late. And then he's come out since and beaten older horses, or thrashed older horses, at Warwick Farm. So the form around Suncraze is terrific. Might be his chance today.
This is his race. Yeah, I think. It's pretty short, though, I think. He's $1.80.
He is. The inside gate, or he's drawn barrier 2. That's the one negative about Suncraze today. It'll be interesting to see what Mike Fraser says a little bit later. Yeah. But he does get back in his races, so he'll be back in the ruck a bit, but Corey Brown's riding superb form. I'll back him to weave a path through, Jason.
I think so. All right, that's Sun Craze in the Tab Highway coming up at 10 to 2 this afternoon. Time now to have a chat to Rachel King, who's joining us on the line. Good morning to you, Rachel. In fact, she's not here with us now. No, she was here, but she's not now. So we'll get Rachel up in just a moment.
Well, she's a lady very much in form. She had an unbelievable month of June, and she started June without having ridden a Sydney Saturday winner, and by the end of June, she'd ridden about 8 or 9.
It's remarable, isn't it? Yeah, she's
tremendous role.
She's a terrific young lady, and certainly a jockey to be following, and really making the most of her opportunities in the city, isn't she, in recent times. With some, you know, I guess the Brisbane Carnival's taken away some of the senior jockeys, and she's taken that.
This is the time of year, winter and summer, when the apprentices get an opportunity to shine, and she's certainly done just that.
Rachel is joining us now. Good morning to you, Rachel.
Good morning.
Rachel, really good book today, but before we get into that with Ray, I know you're not one to oversell things, but you must really be enjoying your opportunities now that have come your way in recent times, especially in the city. I think it's 82 winners and 22 of the Metro, and must be quietly satisfied with your season thus far.
Yeah, definitely. Look, it's gone better than I could have ever imagined. And like you were saying so previously, it's a good time of year to be getting into the city now for an apprentice, and I've managed to take those advantages a bit well. Few of the bigger jockeys have been away, and I've been very lucky with a lot of good support from some good trainers.
Well, good morning, Rachel. You've made the most of those opportunities so far, and as Jason said, a terrific book of rides today. You start off the day in the first with Lipizan, who was tremendous the other day at Randwick, gave it a gun run. More weight today, a little awkwardly drawn. Where do you see Lipizan being in the run early doors?
Yeah, look, she's a little bit awkward draw today, but she was very sort of amenable last start. You know, I think she's starting to get a little bit more adaptable in her races. We can lead if we need to, but we can also sit off the speed if we need to. So she's a bit awkward, but she's got good early speed. I think we'll just sort of jump and see where she's comfortable. The main thing is getting her comfortable and getting her in a rhythm.
That's a very important point, Rachel, because last Starfighter wanted the lead that day at Randwick, but your filly did come back underneath you and settle beautifully.
Yeah, look, she's like I said, she's getting better with every start, and I think last start was probably the straightest she's ever gone as well. You know, she was very good at the start of the race, and she was also very good at the end. So she's getting more mature with every run, and I can't see why she won't be progressing even further.
What about in no interest in the second, Rachel? Her pattern is to get back in a race, as we all know that, but she really runs a bad race. She did win on her at Warwick Farm 3 runs back, and her 2 runs for you since, there's been nothing wrong with them. She's a terrific chance again.
Yeah, she's another very honest little filly. She tries very hard. She, like I said, she gets back, and she's got a great turn of foot. And I think being back at Warwick Farm, you know, it's not too big a field, so she should just be able to settle. She's actually better drawn a bit further out, which we are today. You know, it just makes it a little bit easier to come back on her. Just let her relax, and she'll be hitting the line very strongly. Mm.
Have you ridden More Than Fabulous before in track work at all, or anything like that, Rach?
No, I haven't. I haven't ever sat on the horse, no.
Okay. Have you had a chance to talk to David Payne about your ride in the third, More Than Fabulous?
I haven't spoken to him yet, but I've sort of had a look for his form. Obviously, stepping up quite a bit in distance. But, you know, it looks like he's probably going to benefit him, stepping up to that distance. So hopefully we can run a big race today.
He's had a few runs back now, and I know he's coming off a last of 11 at Warwick Farm, but as you pointed out, that was over a mile. Gets out to 2,400 metres today. Significantly, that huge weight drop.
Yeah, the big weight drop and big step up in distance, and I think they're both probably very positive factors for him.
Walk right in your ride for the Paul Perry stable. Comes to town. His form had been terrific. He reeled off 3 consecutive bush wins and looked great in all of them. Last start at Dubbo, things didn't go his way, but the Paul Perry stable, when they bring them to town, they're invariably competitive.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, he doesn't often bring them to town unless they're going to be very competitive. And look, I've ridden a lot for Paul, and I've had a lot of luck for him. And just like you said, this horse has been in very good form around the country, it may be, but you know.
We're just losing Rachel there. I'll keep going, Rachel. Olympic Academy does resume today. Not a noted first up performer, has had a couple of trials. You did ride this horse last prep when he was in terrific form and probably might need the run first up.
Yeah, we might even try and give Rachel a call back. That line's a bit scratchy. So, Rachel, we might give you a bell back and have a chat to you then about those.
I was interested in her thoughts on Icon Rock coming up in race 8, so
absolutely.
Hopefully we can get Rachel back. Yeah,
and also Hollywood Bound. I get that a chance today, Ray.
Trial
was good.
A couple of boys in the office have right on Hollywood Bound for today, so it'll be interesting to see how she goes. She has trialled really well.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, halfway through our interviews this morning on Racing HQ, we might take a short break. We'll come back in just a moment.
There are footy games. Then there's Origin 3.
A spectacular Origin
3. It'll be all-out war on Wednesday night for the decider. So the Big Sports Breakfast team are travelling deep into enemy territory. We're bringing you three big shows from Brisbane's Queen Street Mall. Listen in for your chance to win Blues and Maroons gear, thanks to Classic Sportswear and Amart. The Big Sports Breakfast Origin 3 editions from 5:30 a.m. Tuesday through Thursday on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing 1.
Dynamic Syndications, Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott offer the perfect Magic Millions Cup. Bred to be early and bred to be quick by champion first crop and leading second crop sire Smart Missile from group place two-year-old winner Highland Daughter. Our colts are half rubber to Highland Beat, a stakes place two-year-old winner.
This is a particularly strong individual. Great family, winning mare, and I can't see any reason why he won't be up and running.
For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3368-08.
The world's greatest fortnight of tennis is now on, and you won't want to miss a game, set or match this Wimbledon with our great odds and offers. TAB, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
Your business can secure some extra stock at a great price, but the banks say no.
You want it in time for a peak sales period, yet they still say no.
You need funds before the deal disappears, but they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just three bank statements, not the deed to your house. And you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
Entries are now open for the 2018 Inglis Yearling Sale Series. 2017 was Inglis' greatest ever select yearling sale season. Join a world-class 2018. Entries close August 4. Enter online at inglis.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio's Racing HQ.
Racing HQ.
Everything you need for a winning day.
Racing HQ on a Saturday morning with Ray Thomas and Jason Witham. We're chatting with Rachel King. She's back online with us now. Rachel, a couple of better rides for you later in the day with I Can Rock. We spoke with Gary Portelli earlier, may have heard it. I don't think you've been on board this fellow before, but he was very good at Warwick Farm, I thought, here where he races well off a wide run last up.
Yeah, look, obviously, like Gary said, he's in good form. That first up run was very smart, and he should be ready to go again and, you know, step up to the Saturday grade today.
Yeah, Rachel, he carried 58.5 when he did win the other day at Warwick Farm 5 weeks ago. Big weight drop today with your claim carry. It's just 52. His pattern, again, is to get back. He'll need a little bit of luck, but he loves this Warwick Farm 1,100-metre course.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, he's got very good form over track and distance, and with that small weight on his back, it's going to help his racing pattern very much so.
And significant opportunity here with the Chris Waller stable for you on Hollywood Bound. Look, a horse who probably hasn't got a reputation of being terrific first up. His record actually shows three placings in six previous attempts, and he's trialled like a bomb going into today's race.
Yeah, like you said, I had a look at his formula last night, and looking at his first up record, it's pretty good. And that last trial win was impressive, and obviously coming from the Chris Waller stable, you know, you expect him to be definitely ready to go.
If I could put you on the spot, Rachel, your pick of your rides today?
I'm a big fan of Lipizan. Like, I think she's got a lot more to give. She is still a little bit, you know, learning a little bit, I'd say. But I think she would have improved a lot from that Randwick start. And it's obviously a tough race today, but I think she's ready for it. So I'm very hopeful of her.
Well, good luck today, Rachel. Let's hope the success continues. Good luck.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Rachel.
Rachel King joining us. And, yeah, certainly a jockey to follow. And she's really come on leaps and bounds, hasn't she, in recent times.
Riding really well, riding with confidence, and still claims 1.5 and can ride as light as 50 kilos, so she invariably takes her full claim, which is a great asset.
She just rates a horse well, I think. Oh, they run for her.
Well, that ride on Lippers down at Randwick in particular, and she got that horse to settle beautifully behind Last Starfighter. It was copybook stuff.
It was. Mm. All right, time now for interim scratchings before we continue our interviews this morning at Warwick Farm, if you're just joining us. A soft 5 today at Warwick Farm. There was a bit of frost early. Yeah, we have a penetrometer of 5.21. Weather is fine. Beautiful sunny day out in Sydney Southwest, and the rail is in the true position for the first Saturday Warwick Farm meeting since January of this year. Now, the scratchings, race 1, take out 8 Runaway and 11 Madame Markovitz, 8 and 11 out of race 1. The second race is clear. The third is clear. Fourth race, take out 6 Noir, 10 Reset Me, I'm Wild, 12 McPhee Lass, 6, 10 and 12. The fifth race, scratchings 10 Likers Lass, 11 On the Fiddle, 12 Empyrean, 10, 11 and 12. Race 6, scratchings 5 Faith's Encore and 6 Megamore, 5 and 6. In race 7, number 1 Colour Charge, number 1. The 8th is clear. 9th race 2 Murakaba, 12 Philosophy and 18 Ralston, 2, 12 and 18. First gets underway at 11:30. You're listening to Racing HQ on Sky Racing 1, Sky Thoroughbred Central, and also, of course, on Sky Sports Radio. Coming up a little bit later on, after 9 o'clock, we'll have the previews of Melbourne with that Winter Series day. Simon Harrison will be hosting you from then. Mark Hunter and Warren Huntley, along with Nick Coombe, will have that preview from 9. And then at 9:30, the Doomben preview with Michael Maxworthy. He's, of course, permanently up in Queensland now, Maxi, and doing a great job for Sky Thoroughbred Central. We'll have a provincial preview with Wayne Harris. He'll be having a look at Kembla Grange at 9:48 or thereabouts this morning. And then at 10 o'clock, our regular Saturday morning preview of Sydney at Warwick Farm with Simon, Trent Langscale and Paul Joyce will have all the tips for us from 10 o'clock in that half-hour preview. Mark Jones will also give us an update on the track, which has come up pretty well today. 10:30 this morning, we'll have the Bortley competition with Paul Ambrosoli, and we'll get into some harness and greyhound action as well with Amanda Rando and Tim Newbold to chat about Menangle and Whitworth Park, respectively, on Sky Sports Radio. All right, interviewing continuing this morning, and we'll have a chat to Gay, hopefully, and also to James Cummings. Been a long wait, hasn't it, for James? Big build-up.
Well, today's the day, of course. He steps into some big shoes to step into as Godolphin's head trainer, but he's 29. He's already made some tremendous inroads as a trainer. He's had a great season as well on his own, and he'll do a great job. And we've seen Darren Beeman do a fantastic job as that interim head trainer after John O'Shea resigned. Yeah. So the stable's got their—they use that word all the time these days, Jason. Their systems in place, and James has been sort of slowly but surely encroaching upon the Godolphin stable, learning more about the horse in recent weeks, so he's not going in there cold, so to speak, and as I said, he's got the stable staff around him, so I'm sure he'll do a terrific job, and might even hit the ground running with a winner in the first, I think. That manicure will be hard to beat.
Could well do. It's going to be an exciting time, isn't it, and I think he's certainly a right fit for Godolphin, and hopefully we'll have a chat to James a little bit later on. But right now, we're going to have a chat to David Hayes. Good morning to you, David.
Morning.
Now, some news coming through, of course, this week that you've teamed up with Star Entertainment Group. Tell us about that.
It's basically, rather than lock into a horse, I've locked into a stable. And because we've got a lot of Group 1 performance sprinters at the moment. We've got the Goodwood winner, we've got the Newmarket winner, and we've got the Oakley Plate winner in the stable. Rather than rely on pick a horse now and hopefully have it in form, you know, all the problems you could have with a horse, they'll be able to pick, providing the owners are happy and the parties are happy, the informed horse from the stable.
When do you have to make that decision about which Everest runner you have, Dave?
I think it's close, as late as possible. I don't think there's any rush. I'd say it's like normal, except it's the week of the race. You've got to nominate the owner's got the ticket, and they've got to produce the horse, don't they? So I'm not sure, but I think it's about the week of the race.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. Good morning, Dave. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, I think this is a smart play, Dave, by Star and by yourself. I guess we're all learning about this Everest concept. There's no blueprint there, but if you've got a big stable with a number of options, it makes sense not to lock yourself into one horse, and then a person like yourself can make that call a week or two out and say, look, Redkirk Warrior is absolutely flying, or Catches the Horse, whatever. You're not locking yourself into one horse too early.
Yeah, like I've, you know, had 8 2-year-old stakes winners last year, individual. One of them might step up and be the best sprinter around. You don't know. So, but for me, the favourite for Star would be, I think, Newmarket winner, Redkirk Warrior, who's been set for the race, and I know how good he is if you keep him to sprint distances.
How does it work with your programming for your other runners then, David, heading towards that? Do you set them all for that race?
They'll all have a race in the spring, and if they're in form, you know, someone else might want to share with us, you know. You don't know, but Star are definitely doing it, and they've got the first option, and then after that, we'll just see what's happening and how they're racing. But I'm going to have all my sprinters in form, hopefully 3 weeks before the race, and the picture will become much clearer.
Yeah, no, it's an exciting concept, and you've got a terrific hand potentially in the Everest. David, just the one runner at Warwick Farm today. It's a huge day at Flemington today with finals day, but Epsom Hill, the good news is he's racing well, he's in form. The bad news is, Dave, we've got a soft five this morning.
Yeah, he loves the heavy track, and it's probably the best track you've had up there for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't think it ran with your race on a anything but a heavy, have you, since January?
I can't remember the last time we had a decent track at Randwick, yeah. But
so I bought the good track maker up there, Epsom Hill, for the wet tracks. If it was wet, I'd be very confident, and I'm hopeful now.
Okay, in saying that, David, he comes out of the collateral race at Randwick last at over 2,400, and he was under siege on the turn, but he's just a tough stayer. He fought on to run second, so that's one thing he can do. He'll save his trip right out.
Yeah, he's not much class, but when it gets heavy, he's effective on it. Mm-hmm. So I would say, I'm not as confident. He's probably a 10-1 chance today, but if it was heavy, it'd be a 3-1 chance.
Okay. They've got a huge team at Flemington. Won't go through them all, but if we can pinpoint a couple of the bigger runners in the Winter Championship final, Petrology and particularly Sovereign Nation, probably your two best chances there?
I think so. I think it's going to be a truly run final, and there are a couple of swoopers, so that'll help their chances.
Okay. What about the old bloke, Extra Zero, Rising 11, lining up for start, number 102. He doesn't know how old he is, Dave, and he just turns up all the time.
He ran at the Valley, which is not his favourite track, but about 50 yards after the post, he was about 3 lengths in front. He was absolutely flying, and he's run before that, had to be seen to believe, and he's in terrific form, so we're pretty confident it's the right race for him.
He must just love racing and training, Dave.
Oh, he does. You know, he's a youthful-looking 10-year-old, and he'll be a youthful-looking 11-year-old at the start of next season. So I was watching Black Caviar race, and there he was running fourth for her all those years ago. And then I saw a Caulfield Guineas where he beat So You Think. So he's a pretty good horse, you know, all those years ago.
Remarkable. David, in the Banjo Patterson series final, a couple of good chances there. Charlevoix was dominant last start, but steps up in weight, and I thought Bullish Stock finished the race off well last start as well.
Yeah, they're both in form. Charlevoix from the barrier is going to get a beautiful run, and I think he's a promising young stayer, as is Bullish Stock. I just like Charlevoix from the gate.
And in the Victorian Sprint Series final, Dave, Tash Bay did well winning last start. Rudica's a chance as well?
Rudica's on the improve. I thought he made a really big improvement with 27 days between runs at the Valley. And Tashby won on the fresh side the other day, about 6 weeks ago. So we've done the same. We've kept him very fresh and given him 6 weeks between runs. And that hopefully is the key to him.
Okay. Dave, you're best at Flemington today?
I like Extra Zero.
Okay. The old bloke.
Okay. Yeah.
He'll tear the house down if he wins, Dave.
A rising 11-year-old. Good on you, David. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time, Dave.
David Hayes joining us. He does have a good hand today in in Flemington with all those Winter Series finals. Good race day there, isn't it?
It is here, the finals day, deep into winter.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Racing HQ, time now to have a chat to Gay Waterhouse back from holidays, and good morning to you, Gay.
Good morning, good morning. Yes, great time. I saw lots and...
Did you?
Yes, it was very interesting, very interesting. Met lots of interesting people, racing people. It was wonderful.
Fantastic. Where did you get to?
Say again?
Where did you get to? Where did you go?
Ah, there wasn't many places we didn't get to. We went went to New York, and we went up to Newmarket and saw the horses up there and the people, and went to Ascot.
Beautiful.
And went to Chantilly and saw the horse that won the other week of Bag Raider at Cricket Heads. Yeah. Went to the races in Hong Kong on the way home.
Wow.
It's good. They do a very good job in Hong Kong. He's an amazing man, the Director General, Wintred. Mm. He does a great job there. You know, it really rocks and rolls. When you walk through, all the dining rooms, whatever, everyone's studying their form, everyone's having a bet, everyone's watching the horses walk around the mounting enclosure. You know, there's a lot of the people going to the races are enthusiasts.
Mm.
Well, and that's what we've lost in Australia. We've lost that passion.
Well,
Gay, racing.
You've never lost that passion, which is always great to talk to you. Good morning, Gay. Only the one runner at Warwick Farm today, R. Beatsome, who was terrific first up, probably went too hard last up, but he's third up today, and can he improve, Gay?
Yes, he wasn't probably quite happy in the going the other day, but Warwick Farm is, of course, where he won very convincingly. He certainly looks a picture. He's worked absolutely super. And he's very well placed in this race. I have no reason why he can't, be there toughing it out, fighting the finish out.
Yeah, it looks hard to beat. A couple of chances at Kembla, Gay. I was interested in Sabrarian, who did a good job to win first up on a very heavy track at Warwick Farm and probably had excuses last start.
Well, he's always dropping back because he disappointed the other day. He didn't like the... it was a little bit soft when he went out of the mounting enclosure. He sort of got a little bit of it, slipped a little bit and... The jockey told me after, and he's a horse that likes a firm track, and that's exactly what you'll get at Kembla today. It's a nice winter track. There are not many runners in the race, are there?
No, he looks very hard to beat. And Gay, you might have been flying home last Saturday when Hugh Alalai was very impressive at Rosa. What are your plans going forward with him now?
Came a couple of weeks back because he'd been in a long time, Ray. Mm-hmm. He'll be set for the guineas. He'll probably be back in about 10 days' time. Okay. It was a great ride by Hugh.
Mm.
He's a horse who's got a balance. No, I didn't miss that race.
It was very good, yeah.
And he's been a really lovely colt. He's been a model of consistency. Son of
Street Cry, I think, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And he's just a big, strong individual, He's a very masculine horse. He's a lovely horse.
Yeah, no, he's learning his racing manners. And, Gay, during the week you produced a filly for John Singleton, who I think could be a star going forward. Long time ago, did a great job to win first up at Canterbury.
It's quite interesting. I spoke to John before the race, and he said in quite florid sort of terms how he hadn't had a winner for 6 months. And I told him that I would cure him of that ill that day. And his mate Trevor Kennedy, his Mark Carnegie, all three of them were... It's where they'd won the Melbourne Cup. She's an exciting filly that's going to go places, and she'll run in about 2.5 weeks' time.
No, very promising filly. And exciting news for the stable too, Gay, early in the week. I think you just landed in Sydney and Tabcorp came knocking on your door and they won English in the Everest.
Yes, they do. And New Haven Park are very, with great generosity, given away, for the people racing on the day, to be part and parcel of this wonderful experience. I mean, she's one of Australia's best female sprinters. She's Group 1 winning mare. She's 1,200 metre expert. It'll be a terrific race.
And that form out of the TJ with Takwa and Phil Swoop and, of course, English looks good form heading towards the Everest, Gay.
Well, she does, and she's come back bigger and stronger, which you'd expect. She's a very happy mare. She looks marvellous.
All right, many thanks, Gay, for joining us. Welcome back, and good luck today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gay.
Gay Waterhouse joining us on Racing HQ.
She always brings her passion to the races.
She does. She never loses the passion. Don't worry about that.
Which is great to see. It's very infectious when you're around her. When she wins, she loves winning. It doesn't matter whether it's a maiden at in the bush or a Group 1 at Randwick, she still enjoys that thrill of winning.
It's fantastic, isn't it? Yeah, never a dull moment with Gay, and great to see. And English, yeah, well, I reckon that TJ form will certainly stand up, in the Everest.
Those three horses you mentioned, Chautauqua, English and Fell Swoop, have gone 1, 2, 3, a slightly different order than the place getters from the TJ the last 2 years. That's the form line. Isn't the race stacking up?
It is now.
Caravaggio, the champion European two-year-old of last season, still unbeaten, a brilliant winner at Royal Ascot, likely to come. There's a real chance an American sprinter could come. She may not come, but Bound for Nowhere from the Wesley Ward Sabre now looks likely, or very much in the mix. There's a Japanese sprinter on the wings that potentially could come. We're down to about 5 slots left, so what do you do? If you own a slot, do you dive in now? Do you sit back and wait?
It's a game of chess, really, isn't it?
It's an intriguing part of the... part of the whole concept about the Everest now.
It's really added a new dimension to racing in this country.
And everyone's talking about it. It's ridiculous. I rang up David Hayes yesterday about his Everest slot, and it's the talk of Flemington, he said, because everyone's asking which horse you're going to run. And when you're watching the Royal Ascot coverage on Sky last month, if you won a major sprint there, one of the first questions the English commentators were asking, are you going for the $10 million race in Sydney?
The other thing too, Ray, I suppose now the question's got to be asked now that that Star has teamed up with David Hayes and he's just teamed up his stable.
Yeah.
Other trainers have got to be asking now, maybe I should be doing that as well. Maybe I won't just enter one horse. Maybe I'll enter my stable.
It makes sense if you've got a bigger stable and you've got a few aces in your pack, so to speak. It makes sense not to lock yourself into one horse.
Yeah. Pretty hard to frame a market, though, isn't it, with David Hayes now having... six chances. Yeah. How do you frame a market there?
The hay stable in on about the fourth line, I think.
Yeah, perhaps so. Yeah, that's what you've got to do. I guess you've got to try and read between the lines now and say, well, will he start Red Kurt Worry? Will he start Catchy? Yeah. Where does she go?
I wonder, Jace, if James Cummings has got a sprinter up his sleeve, he might be able to run in the Everest.
I think he might well do. Good morning to you, James.
Good morning.
I guess it must be a relief now to have the ball finally rolling, James. You must be champing at the bit to get underway there with Godolphin.
Yeah, we've been looking forward to it for a fair while now, but it was good to come out of track work this morning at Crown Lodge. See the team in full flight. I'm sure things will get a lot busier in about a month's time. It's still a fairly quiet time for the stable at the moment, but. It was good to see everything as I said, the operation this morning looks like it's just flowing along seamlessly and steered by a very experienced hand with Darren here, and it's been good to watch them the past 3 months and how the stable's just kept on being run very professionally and the results have been there to see.
Yeah, good morning, James. Best of luck today and going forward with the new role. Have you had a chance in the last 2 or 3 weeks in particular to get more of a handle on these Godolphin horses?
Oh, yeah. Look, I've been at a few of the meetings and I've had a bit of a look through it. But, I didn't want to get too bogged down and have spent plenty of time with the family too, which has been quite nice. So now I've got my... feet under the desk, so to speak. I can really get stuck into it, but look, by the looks of things here, the team's pretty confident. They've got a couple of chances today at Warwick Farm, that's for sure.
Can James Cummings hit the ground running, so to speak, with Manicure in the first?
Yeah, look, it looks a really strong race. The horse from the country has got a high rating on its win. The horse of Joe Pride's from the provincial wins has looked very good with Magic, and Lutazan's already stakes placed and won twice this preparation. I think the winner of this race is at least up to a pretty good level, possibly even group standard. So look, if Manicure can take that step, then I think we'd all be delighted. She certainly looked very impressive winning at Canterbury. She clocked the fastest last 400 of the day, and I think if she can just get a nice run there, then she can certainly get her opportunity to prove that she's a big improver for the team.
It's a very deep two-year-old race to start the day. Philosophy, fantastic first up at Canterbury. Had a huge job to do to run down L.A. Chevelle, which she nailed right on the line. And one thing about this mare, James, she's got a tremendous will to win.
Yeah, she looks like she's a real trier. She looked really bright this morning and... hopefully that huge run first up hasn't dulled what she might be able to do today, but she recorded the fastest last 600 of the day from winning there and was a little bit out of the ground, but was an enormous effort to reel in the leader. She might be able to settle a little closer over 7 furlongs today, and if she could just keep some of the favoured runners in her sights, then I think she'll certainly be challenging over the concluding stages.
Yeah, she's a gutsy little mare. What about Ghostly, James? Back out to 1,400 today. I thought he's run at Randwick the other day on a tempo probably didn't suit him early in the race, but he got home okay.
Yeah, he did. He got a little bit out of his ground. He wasn't that clean away from a wide barrier. We think that we can settle a lot closer in the run today, and he certainly looks like a horse that's enjoyed his training the past few weeks. He's got talent, and I think that in a race like this, he's got a good opportunity to show it.
Yep. Can James Cummings weave some magic with Old North? If he can put his best foot forward, so to speak, he'd blow this field away, James.
Yeah, he's been running sort of one good race, one bad race, prep, but you have to be impressed by his run, resuming run at Hawkesbury. He crossed the line there with horses like, Burning Passion and Clearly Innocent. That was a huge effort. Then third up, he was good again, running third. If we can forgive him the run on the heavy track last time and he bounces back to a better effort there, then I think in a race like this, where these horses are mixing their form a little bit, he can certainly run a big race.
And Nonpareil in the last, look, she's a good filly. Finds it probably hard to win, but in saying that, she always runs good races and comes out of a strong form race at Rose Hill last start. Well, I thought she loomed up to win halfway down the straight, James, was beaten into fourth, less than a half length from Test of the World, but this looks a nice race for her.
Yeah, the thing I like about her is that, she's coming out of a really strong race, coming back in grade. Darren just thought she was not quite... She just got the wanders a little bit late there in that race, and he's put the winkers on today. A few things fall in her favour. I think this is certainly a winnable race for Nonpareil. She's been running against better horses, and I think she's one of the more promising horses in the race. Certainly she's got a good opportunity here to get another win this preparation.
And just finally, James, what's the overriding emotion today? Is it, are you daunted by the prospect of stepping into this new role? Is it more excitement?
I think it's a matter of settling in for now. We've had a really good transition. Everybody's been very positive, and I think that there's been a good amount of give and take in that. So we'll just take our time to adjust and continue to enjoy it. You've got to learn to deal with the good and the bad in this game. So if I can walk away from the meeting with a winner today, that'd be great. But if not, we've got to keep everything in perspective. There's a long road ahead, and if I can ensure that we continue to enjoy the process, then I think that's the right way to approach it.
I think there's exciting times ahead for James Cummings and Godolphin. James, thanks for joining us this morning. I know it's a big day for you, and the best of luck today and going forward with Godolphin.
Great. Thanks a lot for having me on. Cheers.
Thanks, James. Yeah, James Cummings. I think plenty in the industry wish him every success.
And, right. And he'll do a great job there.
He will.
He has
yeah.
Darren right next to him, and he's got that system we talked about earlier. Some very, very good people at Godolphin, Paul Reed, etc., who all know their horses and know their jobs, and they'll make that transition period for James a little bit easier. And
I think the success that Darren's had in the last couple of months has really made that transition a lot easier.
Good point. It's given James a chance to sit back and just learn the ropes, so to speak. And it's an exciting new era for not only James Cummings, but for Sydney and Australian racing.
Yeah, 100%, Ray. Yeah, well said. Good luck to James Cummings today. All right, it's time now for the scratchings on Racing HQ. Let's run through them. And at Warwick Farm to commence. We are racing today on a soft 5 surface at Warwick Farm. And the rail is in the true position. The Penetrobber is 5.12, a bit of early frost there. No rain in the last 24 hours. Race 1, takeout number 8, Runaway, and 11, Madame Markovitz. 8 and 11 out of the first. Races 2 and 3 are both clear. Race 4, 6, Noir, 10, Reset Me on Wild, 12, McPhee Lass, 6, 10, 12. Race 5, 10, Likers Lass, 11, On the Fiddle, 12, Empyrean, 10, 11 and 12. Race 6, 4, Legarity, 5, Faith's Encore, 6, Megamore, 4, 5 and 6. Race 7, One Colour Charge, number 1. Race 8 is clear, and in race 9, Tumarakaba, 12 Philosophy and 18 Ralston, 2, 12 and 18, Warwick Farm. Time now for scratchings at Kembla Grange. And we have a fine day with the rail in the true position and a good 3, an upgrade this morning. Race 1 is clear. Race 2, 6 Runaway, 8 Sparky Lad runs in Sydney, 9 Tony's Reward, 11 Moa Zuna, 6, 8, 9 and 11. In the third race, take